إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to continue reading from Al-Mulakhas al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Doktor Baqiyat al-Salaf Al-Walid Salih bin Al-Fawzan Hafidahu Allah ta'ala wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lilmuslimin wa lilmuslimat wa lilmutakallimi wa lilsami'in wa lilsami'at. We're still in chapter 8 in the section of Al-Zakat حول من في بيان أهل الزكاة ومن لا يجوز دفع الزكاة لهم. This chapter still we're learning about the recipients of zakat, the eight categories of people that deserve that they receive the zakat, and also along with that we're learning those who are not entitled to receive the zakat. قال الشيخ حفظه الله واعلم أنه يجوز صرف جميع الزكاة في صنف واحد من هذه الأصناف المذكورة. قال تعالى وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم. ولحديث معاوية أو لحديث معاذ رضي الله عنه حين بعثه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أعلمهم أن الله قد افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم. متفق عليه. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله فلم يذكر في الآية والحديث إلا صنفا واحدا فدل على جواز صرفها إليه. The Sheikh, he says, you should know that it is permissible to spend the whole amount of zakat on only one of the aforementioned eight categories of the entitled recipients of zakat. Meaning that you don't have to divide the zakat and look for all these eight categories to give each one 1/8. It is permissible to give the whole zakat to one of the aforementioned eight categories of the entitled recipients of zakat. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 371, but if you conceal them, meaning the zakat, and give them to the poor, it is better for you. Another proof the Shaykh mentioned also is a portion of the hadith that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, and from that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, tell them that Allah has made it obligatory for them to pay zakat from their property, and is taken from their wealthy and those who they fulfill the condition of zakat, and is to be taken from them and given to the poor. And given to the poor. This hadith is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim. So the Shaykh says, based on this, in the previous mentioned verse of Surah Al-Baqarah and the hadith that is agreed upon by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, only one of the eight categories of people entitled to zakat is mentioned. He said, which indicates that it's permissible to give the whole amount of zakat to only one of the eight categories. So you can give the whole zakat to, but remember what the Shaykh mentioned previously. Look at those who deserve it the most, those who in dire need. You start with those first. Another point, قال حفظه الله ويجزئ الاقتصار على إنسان واحد لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر بني زريق بدفع صدقتهم إلى سلمة بن صخر. رواه الإمام أحمد والحديث حسنه الألباني رحمه الله في صحيح أبي داود في نفقة الظهار. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لقبيصة أقم يا قبيصة حتى تأتينا الصدقة فنأمر لك بها. فدل الحديثان على جواز الاقتصار على شخص واحد من الأصناف al-thamaniya. Also, the Shaykh says, making this point even clearer, he says, it is sufficient for the giver of zakat to give it to only one person entitled to take it. As long as that, it is from one of those eight categories that entitled to give the zakat. And he says, because the Prophet ﷺ ordered Banu Zurayq to give zakat due upon them to Salama ibn Sahr, according to the hadith related by Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet ﷺ said to Qabisa, because of the hadith, actually, hadith that is in Sahih al-Musnad Imam Ahmad, this the statement of the Prophet ﷺ and his command to Bani Zurayq to give their zakat to Salama ibn Sakhr. This hadith is collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and also Abu Dawood in his Sunan. And Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he graded it to be Hasan. Moreover, the Prophet ﷺ said to Qabisa in this hadith, if you remember in a previous chapter, he came with us this hadith in a previous class. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, to Qabisa, wait until we receive zakat so that we order to give you from it. So Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahu ta'ala, said these two narrations indicate the permissibility of giving one zakat to only one of the eight categories entitled to take it. Once again, it is permissible for a person to give his zakat, if a person has the zakat, to give it to one of these categories. قال ويستحب دفعها إلى أقاربه المحتاجين الذين لا تلزمه نفقتهم الأقرب فالأقرب لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصدقة على المسكين صدقة وعلى ذي الرحم ثنتان صدقة وصلة رواه الخمسة وحسنه الترمذي وصححه الألباني رحمه الله تعالى في صحيح النسائي باب الصدقة على الأقارب باب الصدقة على الأقارب. Also, we should learn that it is permissible for the giver of zakat to give it to his close relatives who are entitled to take it, meaning they be poor and needy and the like, on debts and the like. But with one condition, as long as they are not among those whom he is legally required to maintain. Those that he is an obligation upon him to maintain, doesn't give them the zakat. With regard to this, the Prophet ﷺ said, giving charity to the poor is to be recorded as a charity in reward, and giving it to one's kinship is to be recorded as two rewards, a charity and an act of maintaining the ties of kinship. This hadith is read by the five compilers of hadith and mentioned to be Hasan, a good hadith with by Tirmidhi, but in Sahih, in Sunan and Nasa'i, Imam al-Albani rahimahu ta'ala graded it to be Hadith Sahih in the chapter of As-Sadaqa al-Aqarib, charity given to your relatives. So according to this hadith, the person who gives zakat and a charity to a person that is from his family, but also he's one of the categories, so he gets a double reward. A reward for giving the zakat plus the reward of taking care of his kinship. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he says, for instance, from the relatives that it's not permissible for a man to give the zakat for is his parents, because it's upon him, it's an obligation for him to take care of his parents. Likewise, his wife and children is obligatory upon him to take care of them. However, his brothers, sisters, uncles, cousins and the like, if any one of them is in need, it's better for him to take care of them. The only way, he says, those people, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he says that they he can give them the zakat like his parents if they have debts, outstanding debts, and that there is no way that they can pay it, then he says it's permissible to give it to them. The maqal al-shaykh, hafidhahullah, وَلَا يَجُوزُ دَفْعُ الزَّكَاةِ إِلَى بَنِي هَاشِمْ وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِمْ آلِ الْعَبَّاسِ وَآلِ عَلِي وَآلِ جَعْفَرِ وَآلِ عَقِيلِ وآل الحارث بن عبد المطلب وآل أبي لهب لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الصدقة لا تنبغي لآل محمد وإنما هي أوساخ الناس أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه. The Shaykh says, and it is not permissible for the giver of zakat to give it. Now, after he mentioned who those who are entitled for it and it's permissible to give, now the Shaykh is mentioned certain people that it is not permissible for them to receive the zakat. So therefore the giver of the zakat is not permissible for him to give it to them. So it is not permissible for the giver of zakat to give it to Banu Hashim. Naam. And including in the Banu Hashim, the family of Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. And the family of Ali, radiallahu anhu. The family of Ja'far. The family of Aqil. And the family of Al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib. And the family of Al-Harith. The family of Al-Harith ibn Abdul Muttalib. And the family of Abi Lahab. These are the families and the kinship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that is related by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, charity must not be given to the family of Muhammad, for it is only like people's impurities as it is a means of purifying people's world and sins. قَالَ إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَوْسَاخُ النَّاسِ. وقال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله ولا يجوز دفع الزكاة إلى امرأة فقيرة إذا كانت تحت زوج غني ينفق عليها ولا إلى فقير إذا كان له قريب غني ينفق عليه لاستغنائهم بتلك النفقة عن الأخذ من الزكاة. In addition, also the Shaykh Salih حفظه الله says, it is not permissible for the giver of zakat to give it to a poor woman married to a rich man who maintains her. She's poor, but she's married to a rich man who maintains her. Nor to a poor man who has a rich relative maintaining him. Also, there is this rich person, but he has one of his relatives that is rich, and he's taking care of him and maintaining him. He said, as each of the two is in no need of zakat due to the one who maintains her or him respectively. وَلَا يَجُوزُ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَدْفَعَ زَكَاةَ مَالِهِ إِلَىٰ أَقَارِبِهِ الَّذِينَ يَلْزَمُهُ الْإِنْفَاقُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِأَنَّهُ يَقِي بِهَا مَالَهُ حِينَئِذٍ أَمَّا مَنْ كَانَ يُنْفِقُ عَلَيْهِ تَبَرُّعًا فَإِنَّهُ يَجُوزُ أَنْ يُعْطِيَهُ مِنْ زَكَاتِهِ. فَفِي الصَّحِيحِ أن امرأة عبد الله هو ابن عباس رضي الله عنه سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بني أخ لها أيتام في حجرها أفتعطيهم زكاتها؟ قال نعم. The Shaykh said also it is not permissible for the giver of zakat to give it to his relatives if they are among those whom he is legally required to maintain. It's upon him to maintain them. However, the giver of zakat is permitted to give from it to whomever he volunteers to maintain. But if he volunteers, he was taking care of these people, mashallah, by an act of kindness towards them, he can give them his zakat. It is related in Sahih al-Bukhari that the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنهما هي وزوجها, her and her husband رضي الله عنهم, asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم whether it is permissible for her to give her zakat to the children of her brother. Then make them what to her? Her
nephews.
Jazakallah khair. If she can give her zakat to her nephews as they were orphans, and she's taking care of them. She was maintaining them. They live with her, so she takes care of them. And they are orphans. The Prophet ﷺ said to her, yes, give them the zakat. ثم قال الشيخ ولا يجوز دفع زكاته إلى أصوله وهم آباؤه وأجداده ولا إلى فروعه وهم أولاده وأولاد أولاده. The Sheikh says, also, it is not permissible for the giver of zakat to give it to his parents. Okay? He cannot give it to his parents and his grandparents as well. And also, his descendants, the children and grandchildren. So it's not permissible to give it to his parents and their parents, meaning his grandparents and grand-grandparents, if they're still alive. Nor it is permissible for the person to give his zakat to his descendants, his children, and the children of his children. طيب. وقال أيضا لا يجوز له دفع زكاته إلى زوجته لأنها مستغنية بإنفاقها بإنفاقه عليها ولأنه بقي بها يقي بها ماله. Likewise, it's not permissible for the giver of the zakat to give it to his wife. And the Sheikh mentioned the reason, because he is maintaining her and she is not entitled to take zakat. Rather, he says, those people who do this, they do it just to protect their wealth, to give those that it is usually as is obligatory upon them to maintain and take care of. ثم قال الشيخ ويجب على المسلم أن يتثبت من دفع الزكاة فلو دفعها لمن ظنه مستحقا فتبين له فتبين أنه غير مستحق لم تجزئه أما إذا لم يتبين عدم استحقاقه فالدفع إليه يجزئ اكتفاء بغلبة الظن ما لم يظهر خلافه لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حينما أتاه رجلان يسألانه من الصدقة فقلب فيهما البصر ورآهما جلدين يعني عندهم قوة فقال إن شئتما أعطيتكما منها ولا حد فيها لغني ولا لقوي مكتسب. صححه الألباني. الحديث أخرجه من حديث أخرجه أبو داود والنسائي وصححه الألباني في صحيح النسائي مسألة القوي المكتسب. And we conclude this chapter and we go to the next, inshallah ta'ala, by the statement of our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Saleh Hafidahullah, that the Muslim must make sure he gives his zakat to those legally entitled to take it. You gotta make sure, don't just give it to anyone. You gotta make sure that you give it to one of those categories of the people that are entitled to give the zakat, or to give the zakat to, and therefore they're the recipients of zakat. But if a person is deceived, for example, and gives his zakat to whomever is not entitled to it, and then he discovers the truth that what he has given is legally not sufficient for him, thus he must give the same amount to someone entitled to zakat. You see? If a person, for example, gives the zakat to a person, then find out later on that that person is not from those who are entitled to receive the zakat, he has to give the zakat again to those who deserve to receive the zakat. However, he says, if he does not discover the truth, he's giving zakat to those not entitled to it, it is legally sufficient for him. It says if he was not sure that the person that he gave the zakat to does not deserve it, and he's not one of the categories, he says, labas. It's okay. So it's considered as giving the zakat. But if he know, as in the first example, that the person who received the zakat, he's not entitled for it, so he has to give the zakat once again to one who is entitled to receive it. The Shaykh said this is because two men came to the Prophet ﷺ asking to take from zakat. So he looked at them and saw that they were strong. They were strong men, healthy, strong. So he said to them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you wish, I shall give you from it, meaning the zakat. But it is not to be given to a rich person, nor to one who is strong and able to earn a living. It is not to be given to a rich, nor to one who is strong and able to earn a living. This hadith is collected by the Imam Abu Dawood and al-Nasa'i, from the Hayth Abdullah ibn Adi ibn Khayyar, and the Imam al-Albani rahimahu ta'ala authenticated this hadith in Sahih al-Nasa'i. He says the hadith is sound and is sahih. And by this we come to an end to this chapter, alhamdulillah. We move on to the last chapter, small chapter, alhamdulillah. I think we may finish it before the Salat al-Isha, inshaAllah ta'ala. The last chapter in this section of the Zakat, Babun fi al-Sadaqa al-Mustahabba. Babun fi al-Sadaqa al-Mustahabba. This is about the desirable charity and recommended charity, that which is not obligatory. That which is not, if those who desire to give charity and the like. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وإلى جانب الزكاة الواجبة في المال هناك صدقة مستحبة تشرع كل وقت لإطلاق الحث عليها في الكتاب والسنة والترغيب فيها فقد حث الله سبحانه وتعالى عليها في كتابه العزيز في آيات كثيرة. The Shaykh said, besides the obligatory zakat, there is a charity that is recommended and to be given any time due to the general invitation to give charities, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urges Muslims in many verses in His noble Quran to do this. As this is an act of the righteous people. The righteous people, that is from this, their description, that they give charity. They give and they spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide them with. And the Shaykh mentioned three verses, all of them from Surah Al-Baqarah. قال الله تعالى وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. وقال تعالى وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. وقال تعالى من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة. The first ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 177, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was praising His slaves, those righteous, says, and give, and they are those who give wealth, in spite of law for it, to relatives, orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help, and for freeing slaves, and for freeing slaves. Also in the ayah 280 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if you give from your right as charity, then it is better for you, if you only knew. It's better for you when you give charity, it's better for you. Also in the ayah 245 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Who is it that would loan Allah a goodly loan, so Allah may multiply it for him many times over. So the sadaqah does not decrease your wealth, as certain people, they think that the sadaqah decreases their wealth. When they give sadaqah, they go broke. Ah, subhanAllah. Bilaks, Allah give you more, alhamdulillah. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الصدقة لتطفئ غضب الرب وتدفع ميتة السوء رواه الترمذي وحسنه وهذا الحديث أخرجه ابن حبان والطبراني في المعجم الكبير والأوسط والصغير وكذلك الهيثم في مجمع الزوائد وقال إسناده حسن وأورده المنذر في الترغيب والترهيب عن طريق معاية بن حيدة وقال فيه صدق ابن عبد الله السمني ولا بأس به في الشواهد وأخرجه الحاكم في مستدركه وابن أبي الدنيا في قضاء الحوائج قال كما في اللجنة الدائمة فتوى من اللجنة الدائمة فالحديث روي بطرق متعددة بنحو اللفظ المذكور مطولا ومختصرا عن عبد الله بن جعفر وأبي سعيد الخدري وعبد الله بن عباس وعمر بن الخطاب وعبد الله بن مسعود وأبي أمامة وأنس بن مالك ومعاوية بن حيدة وهي طرق لا تخلو من ضعف كما ذكره أئمة الحديث لكن الحديث له شواهد تقويه وكثرة طرقه تجعله لا يقل عن مرتبة الحسن لغيره اللي كانت فتوى اللجنة الدائمة للبحوث العلم والإفتاء برئاسة الشيخ الوالد العلامة عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله تعالى وأعضاء عبد العزيز الشيخ وعبد الله الغوديان وصالح الفوزان وبكر بن أبو زيد. The Sheikh mentioned a hadith that is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and he says it's Hassan. The Prophet ﷺ says, giving charity appears or appeases the wrath of Allah, the Lord, and averts an evil death. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and he graded it as a good Hassan. And I just read in Arabic a long bahth from اللجنة الدائمة when Sheikh bin Baz رحمه الله تعالى he was the chairman and as members of when they give this fatwa in this answer in this hadith the authenticity of this hadith was with him Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh who is now the Mufti حفظه الله and also Sheikh Al-Ghudayyan رحمه الله Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله and Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd رحمه الله. They mentioned that this hadith is collected by so many scholars of hadith in their books and from so many routes and so many companions. However, there's so many routes of this hadith and they're not free from some weakness. But however, this hadith cannot be less as graded, less than حسن لغيره. وفي الصحيحين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله وذكر منهم ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه. Another proof the Sheikh Salih Fawzan رحمه الله تعالى mentioned is the hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim in their Sahih. When the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned seven people will be admitted in the shade of the throne of Allah. As there is a narration, as we learned in the Aqidat al-Salaf, explanation of Shaykh Rabi'a ta'ala, that there is a narration that explained this one, and تُقَيِّدْ هَذِهِ وَتُبَيِّنْ, make it clear that this is a throne, the shade of the throne of Allah. ذِلُّ عَرْشِ الرَّحْمَانِ. And there will be no shade on that day except for the shade of Allah. And one of those seven, that the Shaykh didn't mention all of them, if you want it as a homework to find the other six, do it, it's good for you. But the Shaykh, he just mentioned one of them, a man who when he gives a charity, a person who gives the charity so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. People do not know what he gives. He gives between him and the person. He goes to the person and give him. Without nobody knows that what he gives. And this is a good thing, alhamdulillah. قال الشيخ الأحاديث في هذا كثيرة. And the ahadith are many. in this regard. ثم قال الشيخ وصدقة السر أفضل وصدقة السر أفضل لقوله تعالى في سورة البقرة وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله ولأنه أبعد عن الرياء ولأنه أبعد هذا العمل بعيد عن الرياء إلا أن يترتب على إظهار الصدقة وإعلانها مصلحة راجحة من اقتداء الناس به مثلا قال الشيخ حفظه الله. So it is recommended to give charity secretly, and that's better. To give the charity in secret, without nobody knows, it's better. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 271, but if you conceal these charities and give them to the poor, it is better for you. If you conceal it, nobody knows, and you give it to the poor, nobody, that is better for you. And when you read in the biography of the Salaf from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and other than them, you will find that they used to give charity to so many people, and those people never know who's giving to them. They receive it. And some, like, subhanAllah, continuously, once a month or the like. And one of the students he mentioned once, when Sheikh Muqbir rahimahu ta'ala died, and they were mentioning, actually, when Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah died, and they mentioned that subhanAllah, in Damaj, in Yemen, when Sheikh Muqbir rahimahu ta'ala was still alive, they used to receive help and charities and some money, but they don't know who sent it. For years, alhamdulillah, money for the markets of Damaj that take care of it and whatever for the students. And they didn't know until Sheikh Ibn Baz died. When he died, nothing came. SubhanAllah. He says that money that used to come, he stopped. They know that it has to do with Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. So it is better to give the sadaqah and to conceal it, to give it secretly. He says, Shaykh Fawzan, he explained after bringing the hadith, the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, this is because this makes the giver far from riya and showing off. But he mentioned, he said, unless giving charity in public, there is a maslaha, there is a benefit, such as encouraging others to do it. Such as encouraging others to give the zakat. ثم قال وينبغي أن تكون طيبة بها نفسه غير ممتن بها على المحتاج. قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى في سورة البقرة. Says likewise, the person who gives charity must be willing to give it. He loves to give it. Because if he knows the virtue of giving charity, that's what he gives. And he must not consider his donation as a favor to whomever needs them. Not give it to them and say, remember, I do you a favor, I helped you the other day. No. Okay? Just give it and that's it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 263, O you who believed, O you have believed, do not invalidate your charities with reminders of it or injury. Don't invalidate the sadaqah by reminding the people, I gave you that and this and that. لا. ثم قال والصدقة في حال الصحة أفضل. والصدقة في حال الصحة أفضل. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لما سئل أي الصدقة أعظم أجرا قال أن تصدق وأنت صحيح شحيح تخشى الفقر وتأمل الغنى. الحديث متفق عليه من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه واللفظ للبخاري. Then the Shaykh, he says, in addition to all of this, it is recommended for the Muslim to give charities when he is healthy and is better. Someone who's healthy, give this zakat, is better for him. The Prophet ﷺ was asked in this hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and this is the word in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which charity earns the greatest reward? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the charity which you give while you are healthy, while you are, he mentioned, healthy, shahih, meaning you really want your money, and naam, and afraid of poverty and wishing to become wealthy. That's the best. When a person doesn't have a lot of money, he has a little bit and he wants it, he has plans himself, he wants to save more, but he give. Still, when he give, that's better than others. Naam. From Maqal, now the Shaykh is bringing what is the sadaqah that is better. What times, what places that the sadaqah is better, okay? He says, وَالصَّدَقَةَ فِي الْحَرَمَيْنِ الشَّرِيفَيْنِ أَفْضَلُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ بِهَا فِي قَوْلِهِ فِي سُورَةِ الْحَجِّ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرَ. Says, likewise, giving sadaqah in the two haram al-sharifain, meaning al-masjid al-haram in Mecca where the Kaaba is, and al-masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. So when you give sadaqah while you're there, it's better. It's better than any other place. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 28, so eat of them and feed the miserable and the poor. And the poor. So also he said, وَالصَّدَقَةَ فِي رَمَضَانِ أَفْضَلُ لِقَوْلِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل فكان أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. حديث متفق عليه أيضا بين البخاري ومسلم. Likewise, sadaqa, when you give a charity in Ramadan, is one considered one of the best charities. See, when you give charity when you're healthy and you don't have much and you really care for your money and you wanted to save more and you want to build up your savings and you give sadaqah, that's the best sadaqah. And also giving sadaqah in the Haramain. Alhamdulillah, those people who live there, Allah, this is a ni'mah from Allah. But those who don't, remember this, you learn this. If you go for Umrah or Hajj or for whatever reason, take with you some extra money to spend. Okay? As a charity, because the charity over there is considered one of the best charities. Likewise, given charities in the month of Ramadan. This is because of the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of all of the people. And he used to reach the peak in generosity in the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, in the month. So he was generous, but in Ramadan he's more, gives more, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially when Jibreel met him. When Jibreel met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel used to meet with him every night of Ramadan to review with him the Quran. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous person, even more generous than the strong and controllable wind. Meaning that the Prophet ﷺ used to give the zakat, give the charity and give sadaqah in Ramadan. And he used to give a lot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayna'am. So we do the same thing, alhamdulillah. Those amongst us who, when Ramadan come, one of the many good things we do in Ramadan is this, give charity. Spend in the way of Allah. You know? Spend. Help the orphans, the needy, the poor, those who are going through hardship, those who are going through debts, those people that their hours been cut off, because it's a hard time for a lot of people that they lose their jobs, people are struggling, Find those people, find those women struggling with children, find those people who are having trouble paying their rents and their bills, find them and help them. In the month, if you know, some people know, you do that, but in Ramadan you increase and you do even more, inshallah ta'ala, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why we're learning in this class, so that we can implement, inshallah ta'ala, because the implementation of the knowledge brings a lot of good for the individuals, for families, and for society. قال والصدقة في أوقات الحاجة أفضل قال تعالى أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة يتيما ذا مقربة أو مسكينا ذا متربة سورة البلد. Likewise, the Shaykh says, also, it is better for the Muslim to give charities in the times when one needs them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or feeding on a day of severe hunger, an orphan of near relationship, or a needy person in misery. Well, this is ayat 14 to 16, Surah Al-Balad. Sheikh still giving us what is from the sadaqah that is best. So that you can do what is best, so you can get the greatest reward. قال كما أن الصدقة على الأقارب والجيران أفضل منها على الأبعدين فقد أوصى الله بالأقارب وجعل لهم حقا على قريبهم في كثير من الآيات كقوله تعالى وآت ذا القربى حقه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الصدقة على المسكين صدقة وعلى ذي الرحم اثنتان صدقة وصلة كما مر معنا قريبا وفي الصحيحين أجران أجر القرابة وأجر الصدقة. And the Shaykh says also, likewise, from those charities that are considered the best charities is the when the Muslim give charities to his relatives and neighbors rather than other people. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined upon the Muslim to do goodness to his relatives. He showed in many noble verses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one's relatives have rights upon one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, verse 26, and give the relatives his right. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, giving charity to the poor is to be recorded as a charity in reward, and giving it to one's kinship is to be recorded as two rewards, a charity and an act of maintaining the ties of kinship. As if you remember, shortly, alhamdulillah, not too long ago, the Shaykh, he mentioned that hadith as well. And also in the Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Muslim, in the same hadith, read with a slightly different wording as the one who gives sadaqah to his relatives and kinship, he's rewarded twice. He has two rewards. A reward for maintaining the ties of kinship, and a reward for giving charity. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله ثم اعلم أن في المال حقوقا سوى الزكاة نحو مواساة القرابة وصلة الإخوان يعني الأصدقاء ليس الإخوان المسلمون وإعطاء سائل وإعانة محتاج وإنذار معسر وإقرار مقترض قال تعالى وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم. He says also the Muslim should know that there are legal rights due on the property of a Muslim other than the zakat. And he gave an example. Examples of such rights that other people have over us as Muslims. For instance, supporting the relatives, your families. You support them, you help them. You have some extra money. You don't be selfish and just take care of yourself. No, look at the people around you. Your family, they going through some hardship, you help them. Now, It's not like me. See, living in a country like this, in Kufr, they teach the people bad things. It's just me and myself. He don't know his mother, don't know his father. The mother that worked hard for him, now he has a good job, don't even know her. When does he remember her? Huh? Yesterday. That's a good example. He remembered her yesterday. Why? What was yesterday? It was a mother day, as they claim. A mother day? The mother has only one day? That's all the mother deserves for these people? She works so hard for them. Now, once a year, when he's reminded by the TV or whatever, now he's going to stop in a hurry and get her like a card for 99 cents, you know, and maybe stop by Turkey Hill and get her like catch a deal on some flimsy roses. Huh? And now, that's for my mother. That's it. Alhamdulillah for Islam, ya akhwan. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Such a righteous take care of your relatives. Keeping good relations with friends. That's why he said al-ikhwan. Friends, your friends. Not ikhwan muslimun, those wicked and bad people in Egypt, and they are all over now, Allah musta'an. Because somebody may say ikhwan. Say, Sheikh Hozan says take care of ikhwan, not ikhwan muflisun. Not them. The Sheikh, he means your friends, your brothers in Islam, those who are upon the Muslims, not the Hizbis, the Hizbiyun, Ikhwal Muslimun. And also such as, see, friends, you have some extra money, you take care of your friends. You see them going through some hardship, you here, take this, help. This is what friends is for. Like they say, friends in need is a friend indeed. Not the friend, okay, when things are going with you, you have a nice car, you, mashallah, you cook for them, they're your friends. When you get through some hardship, then nobody knows. They don't even text you back or nothing. No. We do things for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get the reward from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, such people that have rights on us and we have to spend some of our money on them is giving the needy. Granting a delay to the insolvent debtor, like somebody came and borrowed already, and then he may come to you and say, "Akhi, look, I don't, wallahi, man, I'm still going through some hardship." Like for example, he borrowed $1,000 and then in 3 months, he said, "Look, in 3 months, give it back." 3 months came, he came to you. Not like some people, they change the zip code. You don't even see them. They stop even coming to the masjid, which is a bad thing. Now they will come and say, "Akhi, Allah musta'an, I have only 200 here, that's all I have, but please give me some other time." If you have money, you tell him, "Akhi, keep that 200, no problem. Keep it. As a matter of fact, I'm giving you a year from now." You see? Allahu Akbar. Likewise, and lending those in need, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and from their properties, was given the right of the needy, petitioner, and the deprived. Sort of there, yes. قال ويجب إطعام الجائع ويجب إطعام الجائع وقرية الضيف وكسوة العاري وسقي الظمآن. بل ذهب الإمام مالك رحمه الله إلى أنه يجب على المسلمين فداء أسراهم وإن استغرق ذلك أموالهم وإن استغرق ذلك أموالهم. Likewise, the Sheikh mentioned it is legislated, or actually it is obligatory to feed the hungry, entertain the guests, clothe those who have nothing to clothe themselves, and give drink to the thirsty people. It's obligatory. Moreover, he says, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said, or maintained that it is obligatory upon the Muslims to ransom the Muslim captives, even if this cost them all their property. Even if it cost them all their property. قال الشيخ حفظه الله كما أنه يشرع لمن حصل على مال وبحضرته أناس من الفقراء والمساكين أن يتصدق عليهم منه. قال تعالى وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده في سورة الأنعام. وقال تعالى في سورة النساء وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Likewise, the Shaykh says, when a Muslim gets money in the presence of the poor or the needy, it is recommended for him to give charities to them from his money, from that money. Amen. If you receive some money and there is poor people around, you give them some of it. It's recommended, it's good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, verse 141, and give its due, means zakat, on the day of its harvest. If somebody is harvesting and there is some poor in the area, he give them from that which is harvesting. He give them from that. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 8, and when other relatives and orphans and the needy are present at the time of division of the inheritance, then provide for them something out of it, of the estate, and speak to them words of appropriate kindness. Allah. These are the Muslims who want the Akhirah. Those who want the Akhirah, they divide in the inheritance, and there is people in the area around them, poor at that time, and they say, look, Ikhwan, let's give some to them, and they give some. Because they want the hereafter, they want the Akhirah. قال الشيخ هذه من محاسن دين الإسلام لأنه دين الرحمة والمواساة والرحمة ودين التعاون والتآخي في الله فما أجمله من دين وما أحكمه من تشريع. The Shaykh says, all of these things, taking care of the needy, the poor, all what we've been learning in this chapter, alhamdulillah, and other than it, this indicates the beauties of Islam, the numerous merits of Islam. For it is indeed the religion of cancellation and mercy, cooperation and brotherhood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful religion Islam is indeed. But we have to live it in our lives so that the people, they see those beautiful things in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our, even the way you drive people. We are Muslim, we should be different. Even the way you drive, you don't cut in front of the people, and you don't speed, and you don't harm the people and frighten them. And then some people will say, well, why you're not, this is Islam. You don't harm the people and you have to do what is right. You got to conduct yourself with good manners of Islam. Why you shopping even? You see somebody old and you try to help them and let them go in front of you, is no problem. And they were like, really? And they look at you once again and says, you're not a Muslim, are you? Yes, I am. Wow. And they like, and you never know, that may be the start of them go home and say, look, I made this a nice Muslim. And this, and before you know it, Allahu A'lam, if then, the afternoon, they meet another nice Muslim. The next morning, they're like, subhanAllah, this is nice to be around these guys. And if the Muslims really in any neighborhood, they act correctly, people, they will like to be with, next to them. Not like some Muslim, but they're terrible, Allah musta'an. Now, whenever they move to an area, the non-Muslims move away. And they give a bad image to Islam, waliyad billah. You find some Muslims, yet some of them even claim Salafi, ya Salafi, and they destroy the properties of others. They trash it. Hey now, what da'wah we giving to the non-Muslims? And what da'wah those Salafis are giving to a landlord who is Muslim but he don't know Salafi? You see? I hear so many stories because people call me, and one of those brothers that people call sometimes, and subhanAllah, people, they like, find a person, a layman person who don't know anything, miskin jahil. And he's complaining, he says, these Salafis people, they're not paying me his rent for months. So I'm patient with them because they're Muslims. I don't want to put them in the street. No, he's a layman, a person who's upon bid'ah and innovation, whatever. He's like, he's more merciful. I don't want to put them out in the street because they have children, but now they're taking advantage of me. Should be the other way around. You have a landlord like that, Muslim, but he don't know miskin. You gotta pay them in advance. They says you have until the 5th. Every 1st, you give it to them. They happy. Allah, they be happy. Give him a gift. He came to collect nice watermelon that you can sell or whatever. Here, this is for you, Mr. Landlord. Zakallah khair, nahi barakallah fiq. Yes, the person came. Send him a nice text message. You send the person, yes, he took care of the leak. Jazakallah khair, nahi. Now he's like, subhanAllah, who are these people? Tell him, look, it's not me, it's this manhaj, alhamdulillah, that we are upon. Aynam. The Shaykh says, indeed, this is a beautiful religion. Aynam. How wise the Sharia. It's like the Sharia of wisdom. There is a wisdom in it. Then the Shaykh says, نسأل الله تعالى أن يرزقنا البصيرة في دينه والتمسك بشريعته إنه سميع مجيب. We ask Allah to grant us basira, discernment in our religion, and help us adhere to His laws, for He is the hearing and the one who responds to the supplications. And by this we come to an end to this chapter and to the section of zakat. And inshallah, next section is siyam. And he came just in the time needed. Alhamdulillah. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.